So today we're going to talk about communication methods, tools that you can use to communicate with international buyers. Chinese buyers, we're talking about most of the buyers are very wealthy. They're buying a second or third house. They do a lot of traveling and they get around. They're quite international. And even inside China, they might be in Beijing one day, they might be in Shanghai the next day. And this has a lot of effects on how you communicate with them. So let's talk about some of the different tools we're going to learn about today. One of them is called QQ, and another one is called WeChat, WeChat. And the other one is called Weibo, which is WeiBo, WeiBo.com. Okay, so why would you learn about these tools? I mean, you know, you're busy, you know, you're thinking about ROI of your time. You don't want to waste time learning, you know, on Facebook. You know, a lot of people, they waste half their day on Facebook. I read that 50% of the time in the United States online is actually on Facebook. And, you know, I'm not a big fan of that. I love Facebook and I post every day, but I mean, wasting time on you know, chatting with friends is not a productive use of your time. So why would you even bother using new social media and communication tools? Okay, there's a lot of reasons, and let's go down one by one. One of the biggest things is that of course your client is an international buyer, right? So they have many phone numbers. You know, they'll have one phone number in wherever they're buying. So if you're in Canada, they have one Canadian number. If you're in the UK, they have one number for, let's say, London for the UK, and then they have another phone for when they vacation in Thailand. And they have, this will be a surprise to you, but they probably have several phones even inside China. They might even have two or three phones in Beijing if they live in Beijing, and then they're going to definitely have a different phone in Shanghai, because inside China, those different numbers is long distance calling back and forth. So they often have many phone numbers. So the phone, although, you know, can be useful if you can get the phone, the number that they use all the time, or if your buyer uses one number globally, you know, then the phone number can be useful, but it's definitely not guaranteed. It's not guaranteed. And email, Chinese in general, email is old school, you know. So say 5 years ago, 8 years ago, you know, everybody was using email and QQ, but things have changed, and email is just too slow for Chinese. You know, they're using different chats. They want to be in real time. They want to know what you're doing right now and where you are. They want to push notification on your phone, and email just doesn't do that. So email is not used in Chinese, in China, nearly as much as it is in other countries, in my experience. One of the things that, like say a Weixin or WeChat or a Weibo or QQ, what they do is they tie you to the client. Okay, so, you know, with a phone, if you're not talking on the phone, you don't know what they're doing. You have no idea. And you have no way to get in touch if they don't answer the phone. With a social media tool like WeChat, it works kind of like a Facebook a little bit, where people post pictures, they post what they're doing every day. People use it a lot. WeChat is a very, very, very popular tool, and you're going to hear about WeChat worldwide, because WeChat is it's well funded and it's growing really, really fast. And Chinese just right now are just addicted to it. You know, everybody's using WeChat. There's been a number of different waves in Chinese social media. There's been a lot of companies that came and went, but the winners right now is WeChat, Weibo, and QQ. These are the big winners. And there's one other one I want to mention, and that's Skype. Skype is, I think you probably have Skype, but if you don't have Skype, it's skype.com. And a fantastic tool for chatting, for making phone calls. You can call Skype to Skype for free. You can send files, and probably I'm telling you what you already know. But just in case you're not using Skype or you don't log in every day, or you don't have Skype set to log in as you restart your computer, you should definitely do so, because your more advanced, more international clients are going to be all using Skype. And it's a fantastic tool to keep in touch with your clients. I think the biggest thing that these services do is that they give you more trust with your client. You know, I know for me, like when I ask for someone's phone number, let's say I meet a new Chinese person here in Shanghai, and I say, what's your phone number? And they give me the phone number. And then I see them, you know, a week later, 2 weeks later, you know, months later. Nothing has changed. I mean, if I haven't called them, I haven't called them, and I don't know anything about them. In fact, I know less, because by now I've forgotten a lot of things about them. When I use like WeChat and I add them to my WeChat, I see them every day. You know, every time I log in my phone and I check WeChat, I say, what's going on? There's a Moments, it's called Moments. I look at Moments and I see the pictures of my friends have posted, the notes they posted, what they're doing. And I know, oh, that's right, that is the person I met the other day at the dinner. Oh, I see, wow, interesting, right? And I learn about them and I remember them. So your clients are the same way. When you know, one of the big issues we've talked about a lot is trust is a major, major issue in China, because of the market's difference and the level of professional agents in China as opposed to overseas. So they tend not to trust the agent as much. Now, what helps, you know, trust is knowledge. So the more you know about somebody, you understand what they're doing, you know, understand who they are, and you have less fear. And you're more likely to trust the person. So trust is a big thing. You learn more about them and you understand the person better. And again, we're going mobile here. Everything is mobile. You know, if you take a train in China, you look around a restaurant, there's going to be a lot of people using an iPhone or using an iPad. You know, people are not tied to the PC in China. They're using their Android phone. Androids are huge in China. There's so many manufacturers. They're just exploding. Apple has about only 11% of the market, but it's a very, very high income 11%. But it doesn't have the coverage that we have, say, in North America. Huge difference. Or in Japan. Japan, Apple is huge. iPhones are huge. In China, there's a lot of people, they've either got a smartphone or they've got a pad, and they're on it all the time. So they're not tied to the PC, so they're using tools like WeChat, which is your mobile phone. They're using a Skype app, or they're using QQ on their phone, and that's just the way it is. That's the way it's going to be. If you add a Chinese to these Chinese social media sites, you will likely be, and this has been my experience almost every time, is when I add somebody, I'm the first foreigner they've ever had on their social media. They've never had a foreigner before, and I'm the first one. So, you know, you can guess that they notice you, you know, they notice what you're doing. They think about it. They think, you know, Chinese, you know, it was a very closed society for a long time, and they're thinking about what other countries are doing. What are they thinking? They're very interested in other countries. And there's really a pent-up desire to communicate. You know, I just feel that all the time. You know, Chinese social media it's way more popular than it is overseas. Chinese, they love social media, and they're using social media all the time. You know, here the companies don't have such restrictive policies for chatting and downloading software, so it's very uncommon to see that. So people are downloading software, they're using QQ, you know, they're sending messages all the time, they're on their Facebook, Chinese Facebook, and they're sending messages. Very, very common at work, and using for work. So, for example, an import-export company, they're going to have their QQ and the WeChat and their Weibo printed on their business cards. So even for business, they're using it all the time. I think over here, there's a lot of mixing of social and business, private and personal. They're very, very interconnected in China. One great thing about having somebody on your WeChat is, this goes to a story of a friend of mine. And he called me and he asked me for help. He said, you know, I don't know how to handle Chinese clients. He says, I have Chinese clients. You know, I've gotten Chinese clients before. and I just don't know how to handle them. I said, well, what happened? He said, okay, here's what happens. They fly over to meet me. I, you know, ask them what they want, and I show them, I'll set up a number of listings to a number of viewings, and he takes them in his car and he drives them around. And his area is quite large, as you know, distances between locations. So he spends, you know, 2 or 3 days taking a client around to look at different houses. And I said, okay, so what happens next? He said, well, he goes back to China. And then I said, yeah. And he says, what happened? And he says, I can't get a hold of him. I said, what do you mean? I say, he says, I call him, I email him, and they don't answer the phone. And, you know, I just say, you know, I just think, you know, well, you got to keep in touch. You got to keep in touch. And you don't want to keep calling somebody, right? You don't want to call everybody, somebody all the time. But what's the best way that you tie yourself to them? And that's with one of these tools, right? Like if it was WeChat, you would know what country he's in. You would know what he's doing. You would know what he's eating. You know, you'd be able to glance at him and kind of keep in touch with him. And he would do the same with you, likely. So you would have more of a connection. With a phone, if he's got, you know, 3 phones or 4 phones, 5 phones, 6 phones, I mean, likely he doesn't even answer that phone. And email is the same thing. A lot of Chinese, they don't even check their email that much. It's just not as common. They're using instant tools, you know, instant messaging. They want to know right now. They want to boom, boom, boom. So, you know, I don't send many emails in China. In fact, most of my emails that I send are sent to non-Chinese. If I'm going to communicate with a Chinese person, I'm usually going to use either Skype, QQ, or WeChat. I love WeChat, so I use a lot of WeChat. And I use Weibo, which is an excellent tool to let people know what you're doing. So kind of what I'm up to, what I'm doing business-wise, and it helps me to get a lot of business. That's the way I use it. So email's not used as much. Phone numbers change. You know, speeds change. You know, another reason why phone numbers change in China is they're right now they're upgrading. They're always upgrading the internet speeds, the different providers, internet providers. And because internet is fairly inexpensive in China, what is very common and what I do, a lot of my friends do, is when for example, China Telecom has very slow internet speeds on mobile right now. So China Unicom is actually quite fast, and they have pretty good data plans. So what is very common is to change phone numbers just to get better internet speed. So they'll change providers and they'll go to the China Unicom. Now later on, I heard in 2013, end of 2013, China Telecom is going to be faster because they're going to implement their 4G is what I heard. Now whether it's true or not, I don't know. But if it is true, a lot of people are going to be switching back to China Telecom. They'll get new phone numbers. So you just can't trust phone numbers the way you would back home where your people keep phone numbers for years. You know, they just don't. But the WeChat is always going to be the same. They're likely going to have the same WeChat. They're going to have the same Weibo. They're going to have the same Skype, they're going to have the same QQ. You know, QQ numbers, they get them, in, a lot of people get them in university, and they keep them for years, QQ. So, let's see here. So, I want to give you another example of somebody I met the other day. I actually did an interview with her, and she was looking for a property in Australia. She had lived in Australia before. If you catch the interview, with Ms. Wei, we're talking about this, and she was saying, well, in about 4 years, she was waiting, her son was a year and a half year old, and she was waiting till he was about five and a half years later, and she was going to purchase a property in Australia. Now, what do you think? If I get her phone number, okay, and, you know, 4 years later, do you think she's going to buy a property from me? What do you think? I mean, no way. 4 years? I'm going to call her in 4 years. Hey, do you remember me? You know, I was the guy, you know, blah, 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 from California. No, she won't remember me. But if I add her on WeChat and I update my posts, you know, often, I look at hers, she's going to remember me for sure. And we'll probably be friends. We'll probably go out and have dinner. We'll probably be, you know, hanging out. If she's still in Shanghai, I'm still in Shanghai, very likely I'll see her in person too. So it just doesn't, phones for long-term clients, it just doesn't work. It just doesn't work. And email doesn't work either. So you have more trust. You know more about your clients. You know, another example is one of our clients, he posts a lot of pictures And I was checking his pictures, and they're all like very expensive automobiles. He spends time in London, and you know, he's always driving a very nice, renting a very nice car. And I can see the clothes he wears. So, you know, of course, I mean, I know more about the guy. So when I do my pitch, it's very easy for me to either assign the right agent to him, who, you know, they have similar need, sorry, similar personalities, and it's easier to talk to him because I know what he's thinking, I know what he's doing, I know his personality. So how would I, if I had his phone number, what would I know? I mean, I would know where he, I would know what area code he's in. That's all I would know, and I would, all I remembered when I met him that one time. So the relationship would not be deep, right? But if I see the pictures of the cars and him having Louis Vuitton bags, you know, and everything, I would know a lot about him, right? I'd know a lot about him. I'd know what he's doing, what he's thinking. How about if he gets married? He gets married, I'm gonna definitely see that, right? I'm gonna see that on his post. I'm gonna say, oh, he got married, right? Well, time to send him a message. Oh, he had a birthday. Everyone's sending him a birthday message. Okay, let's send him a birthday message, right? Have a great relationship with him through social media. Let's talk a little bit about Chinese history and give you a kind of a, just a very, very, obviously very, very quick, but kind of give you an idea of the situation in China when it comes to these tools. In 1949, the People's Republic of China was formed. And at that time, China basically totally closed off to the outside world. So for 30 years, China was basically totally closed. You know, you couldn't, you couldn't, it was very difficult to visit. People could not travel. A lot of things happened during that period that were very tough. And it was a lot of, you know, there was famine, there was some very, very difficult situations in China, and it was very, very closed. So in 1978, Deng Xiaoping, he said, he, you know, the leader, he set the course, and he said, for the first time, he said, to get rich is glorious. So to get rich is glorious. And that to the Chinese said, whoa, something's changed. China is changing, you know. All of a sudden, it's okay to have money. From a communist society to it's okay to do business, capitalism, basically. So that was a huge change. And along with that was the government totally controlled media. And I think if you don't live in China or you haven't lived here, it's very difficult to understand what that means, but that's all inclusive. You only read the news that government wants you to read. You can't read any other news. There's nothing else available. So when the internet came out, it was the first time that people could start to see a little bit of the outside world. But again, the government started to shut down websites that they didn't like. So Facebook is blocked in China. You can't use Facebook in China. You can't use Twitter in China. And there's thousands of websites that you use daily that you cannot use in China. So this is what's created this ecosystem in China of Chinese social media and Chinese communication tools. And if you don't use these tools and they can't access your tools, how are you going to communicate with them? It's impossible, right? It's completely impossible. And there are wealthy people in China who have, you know, it's called a VPN, and they can use Facebook. But even then, many of their friends can't, and they're going to use a lot of Chinese communication tools anyway, even if they do use Facebook. And they'll probably also use them much more often. It's much more common to use them. It depends on the person, of course. So there's 2,600 websites. To me, it's just crazy. You know, and as China has opened up, okay, when with the internet came a lot of opening up in China. And what was the biggest thing, do you think, that made China change the most? Was social media and these new communication tools, mobile communication. And Chinese young people are very savvy and they're very excited about using these tools. And it's mainly, I mean, there's a lot of reasons for it. You know, Chinese love to chat, they love to talk, but you know, also they had a very dark period where they couldn't communicate. And so, you know, basically Chinese social media is red hot. It's like, I think of it as like a red hot coal. It's much more active and much more alive than any of the like Twitter or Facebook. You know, Chinese social media is it's really hot. It's really interesting. If you're when you add up when you, at the end of this module when you start to get involved in Chinese social media, I think you'll learn more from Chinese social media than you will from almost anything else about Chinese people. You can see what people are thinking. You can see what they value. You can see social things that are happening in the country. And these are the things that give you the ability to communicate and understand other people's feelings, because you understand what they're going through, right? So let's get down to the nuts and bolts, okay? The how. What do you do, right? Now you understand the background and you understand why that you want to connect with these people, and how you're going to do it. How do you do it? Where do you start? Like I said, you want to keep your, your time is valuable. You don't want to waste your time. So what do you do? Let's just go one by one. Just sorry if this is a little bit slow for some people who are very internet savvy, but I'll just give you a basic rundown. You want to go to WeChat.com, WECHAT.com, and you want to download and install the app in your smartphone. And that's what it is. It's a smartphone app. It's used in your phone. Next thing is QQ. Same thing. You want to choose a username. You want to choose a password. And you'll get your QQ number. And QQ is a number, by the way. So, for example, my Facebook is Salo Paul, right? Facebook.com/Salo Paul. My QQ number is a number. There's no letters. So it's very easy to communicate my QQ number to other people. And it's very rare that we would make a mistake, communicating over the phone. My QQ number is this, 1, 2, like that. It's very simple. So it's also, if someone's English is not so good, it's very easy to communicate their QQ number to you and you to them. So now you've got your QQ, you've got your WeChat, and you've got your Skype set up. Let me give you a little bit difference in the tools so you can kind of understand. I don't think maybe not everybody's going to use all the tools. So let me tell you how these tools work. Okay, WeChat is mainly for using with your friends. Okay, much like Facebook, use with your friends. So you add people on there and only your friends can see. It's not public information on WeChat. So you're going to have a smaller audience for your tweets, basically, but you'll also have a much higher trust level. If I'm looking at somebody's WeChat and they recommend a certain restaurant, I'm going to be very likely to check out that restaurant, because WeChat essentially has no spam right now. It's a very private, personal network of you and your friends, and because of that, you get a lot of trust in the community. And now something like Weibo, Weibo.com, Weibo is more public. So when you post on Weibo, it goes out to a lot of people and it's searchable. So if I'm on Weibo, I'm logged in, I can search, like Twitter, I can search for terms, I can search for different things that I'm looking for, and I can see what other people are talking about. Even if they're not on my, friend list, I can still see what they said. If I'm not logged in, I can't. I can't use Google and do it. But if I'm logged in, I can check what other people are talking about, what's trending. Maybe I'm looking for a festival or some kind of a party or some kind of an event. Weibo is very useful for events. If you're having a real estate event, you want to have a Weibo account. If you're doing like a large event, you might have a Weibo Live where you broadcast the event live. We've done that before. So that's a big base difference. WeChat is private, Weibo is more public. QQ is just for communicating with your friends also. But it's very, very, QQ is a massive, everybody has a QQ account. Essentially, everybody in China has a QQ account. Just think about it that way and you're better off. Not everybody uses their QQ every day, but everybody's got one, and it's a very, very good way to communicate with people. Okay, so when you sign up for these, when you sign up for WeChat, what you want to do is when the box comes that says add users from your address book, you want to click that box, and that will allow you to, if anybody, say on your iPhone list, your address book, has a WeChat, it'll automatically find them and then it'll add them. So that's good. You know, add as many people as you can as quickly as possible. Invite your friends. You know, try to build your profile online. So you might want to add pictures to your moments section. You'll see the moments on WeChat and add pictures. Skype again is an international. If you don't have it, get it. Let's see here. What should you post? What do you post on Chinese social media? You know, you don't want to waste time, right? You want effective marketing. Gets right to the core as quickly as possible. What do? Well, one thing you can do is you can post whatever you posted on Facebook if you want to. You can, if you posted a picture of your cat, you can just post that on WeChat. If you posted a picture of your house, you can put that on WeChat. If you posted a listing on your website, you can post that on WeChat. It's very, you know, you, for example, if you have a GIF, like a moving picture, you know, those pictures that move, not a video, but the moving pictures, the GIF, you could post a GIF. GIFs are popular. You could post about your daily life. Now, keep in mind that this is a buyer who probably doesn't know much about your area, who probably doesn't trust people they don't know, and they don't know about the food, they don't know about the area. There's so many things they don't know, right? They don't know about how things work. You know, they don't know about just a lot of issues. There's a lot of unknowns for them. So when you post these pictures of your house and your dog and your cat and your gym, when you go to the gym, the food that you eat, the food is going to be different than what they're eating. So often I found that the most basic things are the most effective in Chinese social media. So you don't think you have to learn to write Chinese, or you need to be a genius in characters, or you need to spend 5 years studying Chinese. You absolutely, I'm just going to say this once and for all, I know I speak Chinese and everything, but I'm telling you, you do not need it. Okay? You can use pictures. Everybody understands a picture of a cute dog, of a cute cat. And those pictures, if they're popular on Facebook and they're going to be popular on Twitter, they're going to be popular on WeChat. Okay, that's just a guarantee. You know, that's cute things. They love cute things. Fashion, if you're into fashion, you know, a lot of you know, Chinese girls, they're just posting all day different things they want to buy from Taobao. Taobao is like eBay, so they'll be searching for things to buy and they'll just post another thing. So you can post stuff like that. You know, anything that will teach them about you. If you cook some food, take a picture of the food, post it up. If you know, see some entertainment, like some maybe you go to a show and you can take a picture and post that on WeChat, and that gives it, it's very nice to people here in China. I can't really explain it to you. You know, when you're in an area, you don't know what it's like to see another area, you know. But I know when you look online and you see someone in Barbados, you know, they might just be walking on the beach in the morning to go get their boat or something, but you know, to you, it's quite interesting. You say, wow, it's beautiful. Look at that beach. Oh my gosh, like, the water is so beautiful. And you're thinking all these things. The guy who's walking, he's thinking, man, my wife, I got to go clean the car. You know, he's thinking of all this stuff. But, you know, your outside perspective is different from his inside perspective. So same with your life. Is a Chinese person is thinking, they're thinking about their future. What's going to happen if they live there? What would they do? Can they eat that food? You know, would they do that? Oh, look at that. That's different. You know, so music, if you're interested in music, you know, post some music stuff. That's fantastic. Of course, you want to post your listings. You want to post any kind of, if you have a new listing, definitely take some nice pictures, post those on WeChat, and you'll be surprised. Chinese people, they comment a lot. So when I come home at night, I'll check my Facebook. I might have a couple comments, but on my WeChat or on my Weibo, I'll have a bunch of comments. And, you know, sometimes they're in Chinese and I can't answer them because I'm not so good at reading Chinese or writing Chinese. I use Google Translate, but I can read some Chinese, but I mean, I'm not that great. So don't worry, you don't need to read or write. But just answer in English. Somebody sends you something in Chinese, say, I don't understand, you know. Don't be afraid, you know. You're having fun and they're having fun. And you're interacting with people. And they understand too that, you know, foreigners are not so good writing different languages. What other thing you can use? Okay, there's two things you can do with WeChat. When I meet a new person, I will immediately ask for their WeChat and I'll get connected to them in front of them. I will not walk away. So for example, if I was at the convention, the real estate convention the other day, and I talked to a woman, Tammy, and she said, I'll send you my WeChat. I said, well, you know, let's just do it right now. And then she added me, and then I could tell she was happy that we did it, you know. So she added me, and then she saw my list. She said, wow. And she started asking me questions about what I was doing in Shanghai. And then I added her. And then I noticed this morning when I woke up, I just added her yesterday, and I woke up this morning and I looked at her her moments. And, you know, she went out to dinner last night with her boyfriend, and they watched a rock and roll band. And I know the club, actually. It's the Cotton Club on Fuxing Road. And they were drinking wine. So I know a lot about her now. I know she's got a boyfriend. I know she likes probably hard rock music. And I know where she goes, right? So I know a lot about her. So next time I talk to her, our conversation's going to be much more interesting than it would have been if I took her phone number. I met her at a, you know, event, and we didn't really have a chance to talk, right? But her social media and her pictures, they told me everything I need to know. So I talked to her. I'll have a very comfortable conversation next time when I see her. Another thing you can do on Chinese social media or with the communication tools is you can ask questions. Okay, so you can say, you know, Chinese people love to talk about China. They love to talk about Chinese people, Chinese history. You know, if you ask questions, I mean, of course, you don't want to be badgering people, but if you just simply ask questions when you don't understand something, Chinese people, in my experience, have been very nice about explaining, and they love to do it. So if you say, why do you do this? Or, you know, who does this? Or, you know, could you help me with this? You'd be surprised. People often will say, sure, I'll help you with that. You know, I'll put something on Weibo when I don't understand something. You know, I'll put it on Weibo and I want to get it. There was an event I wanted to go to, and there was a ticket I knew you could get through Weibo for free if you just fill out a form. I didn't know where it was. So I posted on Weibo, I don't know about this ticket. Boom, two people, bam, answered me right away. I signed up. Everybody's happy. They send back smiling pictures. Everybody's happy they got my ticket, you know. So, you know, if you have a question, feel free to ask questions, you know. So you can use it in different ways. You can meet Chinese people, and you can add them on your WeChat, or your QQ, or your Skype, or your Weibo, and you can get a better relationship with them. And then you can also, through those tools, you can add new friends. So you can search for a term, and then you can then you see people that are talking about that, who are interested in that, and you can also add them. So you can find new friends, and you can also deepen relationship with the ones you have, and you can have a much longer relationship, much, much longer. So if, like I said, if they're not buying for 4 years down the road, if you have them on WeChat, there's a good chance that that you'll still be in communication with them when they're ready. So, okay, now, what do we do now? You understand the tools. You understand why you should be doing this. And you understand how to do it. Now, the next thing is I want you to go out and do it, okay? So what do? How do you start? First thing, set up your WeChat account. WeChat. WeChat is, it's on fire in China. It's super popular. Sign up your WeChat account, download, install, pick your username, pick your password. And next thing, go to QQ, imqq.com, imqq.com. And then download your QQ. Both WeChat and QQ have English versions, and they're perfect. They're easy to understand. The English is fine. There's no problem. Easy to understand. Download, install, and pick a username, pick a password. Next thing is Weibo. Now, Weibo account is a little bit more difficult to sign up for because it's in Chinese, so you have to use Google Translate. Or you have to use a Chinese intern to help you. Or you have to use Fiverr. We talked about Fiverr.com. Fiverr, you could put on there, please sign me up for all these. And some people for $5, they'll sign you up for everyone. And just give you your username, give you your password, and you'll be good to go. It's easy to log in. Once you log in, it's very self-explanatory. There's a empty box on top of the tweets, and you put something in there, you hit the big red button, and it goes online, and you'll see it go online. So just like Twitter, very easy to use Weibo. So sign up for a WeChat, sign up for a QQ, sign up for a Weibo maybe, okay? or you can wait on the Mayboy, but definitely get WeChat, QQ, and Skype done, installed. And you might want to start to think about printing them on your business cards, because when you pass those out, you're more likely to get people to add you if it's written there and they see it. And you say, "Oh, could you add me?" And they say, "What's your WeChat?" And just add them right there. Add them. I always add people when they're right in front of me. I don't wait, because when I wait, you know what happens? You forget. You know, they forget. You forget. You forget who it was, why it was. But if you do it right then, you remember, and you're reminded every day when you log in your account. "Oh, that was the guy that I met over at the dinner. Oh, that's right. Okay. Oh, I see. He has four children. Wow." You know, you start to learn about him right away. So ask every client that you have if they have a Weibo, WeChat, QQ, Skype, and add them to them right away. When you meet Chinese friends, ask them if they have it. When you go to, let's say you meet another Chinese real estate agent, you might want to ask them, have them, "What's your QQ? What's your Weibo? What's your WeChat?" And even if you're competing in the same business, you're going to learn a lot about them, because you might see that another agent is, posting about houses, and then you might be interested, like, which area are they posting? What are they writing? You can use Google Translate. You can translate. You can read. It's like you're getting this secret, this special, like, glasses. They had this cartoon I used to watch, the glasses, and you could see through things. You could see into worlds, right? This is what you get when you're using these tools, and you're also using Google Translate. Is you're getting into a world that there's no other foreigners. There's no competition, so you're going to be the only one in there, and you learn a lot. I mean, I'm telling you, one day of looking at Weibo, you learn more about Chinese people than you do asking 10 people, because you can see what people really care about, what they're really thinking about. So easy. So just get used to asking people there all these things and adding them right in front of you. Have your smartphone when you go to the restaurant. If you're starting, you might even ask the waiter, "Hey, what's your Weibo WeChat?" Then you can play around. He can maybe teach you something. "Hey, could you teach me how to post a photograph? How do I do that?" "Oh, okay." He'll show you how to do it. "Oh, thank you very much." Then you send him back a message. He sends you back a message. And then you say, "Hey, I'm looking for more people on social media. Could you help me?" And he'll say, "Oh, yeah, add my friend. Or add this famous guy. Oh, what's his name?" And then he helps you add it. And then all of a sudden you're following somebody who has a lot of content you can read, and you can learn a lot more. So I would say the last thing I want to say is post. You don't want to post too much, okay? You don't want to, obviously, you're not a social media professional. You're just trying to get better communication and better, deeper relationship with your clients and find new clients. So, it's up to you. When I first started Chinese, these tools, I basically posted maybe twice a week. And so it wasn't a big deal. It didn't take, 5 minutes. But then I started to get interested in it, and I started to be, started to use it more and more. So today I check my Weibo and WeChat 5, 10 minutes a day maybe. Up to you. But I would say post as an original goal. You've now got your four accounts set up. Maybe post a couple pictures on WeChat and Weibo. Maybe something about your life, about your house, about your area, and then come back the next week and see if anybody put a comment, add some more pictures. Pictures are fantastic. They don't take any time at all. They're easy, and you can snap them. So the more interesting they are, the better. If you're not getting comments, then try something else. Look at what other people are posting and mix it up a little bit. So good luck, and you can add me on all of these. I'll give you my WeChat. You can add my WeChat using my phone number in China, which is 134-8206-4511. 134-8206-4511. And that's my WeChat. For my QQ, it's 166-22-370-34. And my Weibo is just Paul Salo. So my name. So very easy. And if you want to add me on there, if you want to try it out, test it out, you can see what I'm doing, you can see what I'm up to, and you get some ideas for how to handle these tools. So good luck. Thanks for listening, and see you in the next module.